The title for my homily this morning is May to Our Souls. I love the month of May. I think along with September, these 2 months are my favorite. And part of the reason is because of the light. There's something about May light. There's something about September light that has a kind of radiance to it. And of course, at this time of the year, the other dimension that is so beautiful is how the world is coming to life again. I live in the Southwest near a park called River Park that goes down to the Elbow River Valley. And one of the things that's beautiful about this park about 3 weeks from now is all of the May trees will be in blossom. And when walking in the evening and as the sun is setting, there's just such a sense of new life, of vitality. How appropriate is, therefore, that the month of May, in a special way, is known as the month of Our Lady. One of the great English poets of the 19th century was a man by the name of Gerard Manley Hopkins. Like me, he had been an Anglican, and at the age of about 26, so he was much younger than I was, he became a Roman Catholic, and he was received into the Catholic Church in 1866 by St. John Henry Newman. He died at a very young age, I think 40, 41, but he became a Jesuit priest. But what he was most known for was his poetry. And Hopkins wrote this poem that is not only about the month of May, but it is about Our Lady. And it's called the May Magnificat. I'd like to read for you a couple of stanzas. May is Mary's month, and I muse at that and wonder why her feasts follow reason, dated due to season. Candlemas, Lady Day, but the Lady Month, May. Why fasten that upon her with a feasting in her honor? Ask of her the Mighty Mother. Her reply puts this other question. What is spring? Growth in everything. Now listen to the alliterations that follow. Flesh and fleece. Fur and feather, grass and green world, all together, star-eyed, strawberry-breasted, throstle above her nested, cluster of bugle, blue eggs thin, forms and warms the life within, and bird and blossom swell and sod or sheath or shell, all things rising, all things sizing, Mary sees sympathizing with that world of good. Nature's motherhood. That's English. And why I wanted to share that with you is, do you hear in the language? It's bursting forth. It's energy, it's vitality, it's movement. How appropriate at the beginning of May, as we think about Our Lady, that we also had the readings from today's scripture. Readings that also represent this opportunity, this invitation to new life. In the gospel today, our Lord so beautifully says, I am the true vine and you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you, that you may bear much fruit. But one of the things we also have to think about when we consider what it is to abide in Jesus is the idea that it parallels what happens in the world around us. Just as there is an organic unity, so too there is a spiritual unity. And just as in our gardens, with our trees, with our flowers, we have to prune in order for there to be the invitation and opportunity for the fullness of new life, so too, Jesus says, is the case with the spiritual life. And so we want to think, of course, about spiritual fruit. But before we do that, I want to talk with you a minute about spiritual barrenness. One of the things I love about the Apostle St. John is that as a pastor, I find such inspiration from this early pastor. St. John had a pastor's heart. St. John understood so deeply the interior life. And in our reading from his first letter that we had this morning, listen to how the apostle, the pastor, speaks to us. He calls us little children. I love this. So often I think I have to be all grown up. I've got to have all the answers. I've got to always have it together. But the older I get, the more I realize that's a terrible deception. And as I'm into my seventh decade, I want to learn more and more what it means to hear, "I'm a little child. I am so dependent upon the Lord for everything." Especially when it comes to my interior life, and I bet it's the same for you. Because listen to what St. John goes on to say. "Let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth or action." Oh, it's easy to love in word and speech, to say the words, but oh, how hard it is to love by truth and action. And this is the reason why it's so hard for us. Listen to what John says next. "And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts." So part of what he's saying is we try to grow in loving in the truth and in action, we will reassure our hearts. But here's the problem for what he says next. "Whenever our hearts condemn us." Wow. Have you ever experienced the condemnatory heart? When your heart has condemned you? Or perhaps the condemnatory heart when you've condemned another? How easy it is for us to do this. And that's the kind of spiritual barrenness that our Lord is speaking of. That's the thing that he wants to prune, is the condemnatory heart. Because as St. John goes on to say next, God is greater than our hearts. Praise be to God. He is greater than your heart. He's greater than my heart. He's greater than that time when you condemn your husband, when your wife condemns you, when you condemn yourself, when you condemn someone else. He's greater than the heart that has experienced that condemnation, because in growing up, you were either abused or there were words of condemnation always spoken to you in your home. He's greater than the heart that finds it so difficult as we struggle with besetting sin in our lives. It just keeps coming back again and again and again, and how easy it is for our heart to condemn us. He's greater than the restlessness that we feel that is like popping popcorn in the microwave. Do you ever have that feeling where your thoughts are just going crazy? Like they are going everywhere except the place where you want to be. I find that most especially when I'm trying to pray. That my thought life, as I say, is like the popcorn. Thought here, thought there, thought there, thought somewhere else. And so often they can be negative. But God is greater than my heart. Do you believe he's greater than your heart? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who can reassure your heart? Because he knows your heart better than you know your own. He knows my heart better than I know my own heart. So what Jesus is inviting us to is this recognition that we'll struggle with this every day. I love this part of the first reading from Acts. Here's Saul, right? Think about Saul. What did he do? He had a condemnatory heart in relation to the early church. He wanted to round up all of the apostles, all of the believers, bring them back to Jerusalem and kill them or put them into jail. And now here is this man who had condemned the church, who comes amidst the church, and they do not believe that he is a disciple. Do you see what the disciples are now doing to Saul? They're condemning him. Except there's one. His name is Barnabas. And do you remember what the name Barnabas means? Son of encouragement. As I was thinking about the first lesson, it struck me. What if Barnabas had not been present that day? What if Saul had experienced the condemnation of the early church and they said, "We have no room for you, the door is closed"? We might not have St. Paul. We might not have his letters. But Barnabas was willing to say no to the condemnatory heart. He was a son of encouragement. And that's the point, isn't it? Because the word encourage means to have a heart that is strengthened. And that's what Jesus wants for you. That's what Jesus wants for me. And that's why the text goes on to speak about how I want to cut off everything that is not bearing fruit so that we may be more fruitful. And this has both an interior and an exterior component. The interior component has to do with loving the Lord and loving his word. Remember, Jesus says in the gospel, if you ask in my name, my Father will do it. What does that mean? It means the following. If you truly desire to come to a deepening love for the Lord and his word, and that is the deepest desire of your heart, and you pray for it, and you ask for it, and you seek it, your heart will open, and you will love his commandments more and more. And as part of that growth in your interior life, you will come for a deeper love for the Eucharist. Because, as Jesus said, you got to abide in me. Why does the branch have to abide in the true vine? Because it's only through the vine that it is fed. And that's exactly, isn't it, what happens in the Eucharist? I love how Pope Francis once put it, soon after he became our Holy Father. He said, the Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect. And that's the problem. You see, so often we're condemnatory towards others because we expect them to be perfect. We expect them to always follow through. We expect them to do our bidding. And so often we're condemnatory towards ourselves, and this is the heart of the matter, because we expect ourselves to be perfect. It's a lie. None of us can be perfect. None of us can completely satisfy and always make the other person happy. We will disappoint one another. But, says our Holy Father, the Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect, but powerful medicine and nourishment for the weak. You're weak, and so am I. And the more we are able to honestly admit this, the more the Lord can work in your heart and mind and change them and heal them and make them his own. And that leads to the external component. Because what happens to a healthy plant internally? Well, it bears much fruit, doesn't it? By its very nature, it will be fruitful. And what is the fruit that we are called to bear? To love one another. Hasn't it been hard during COVID? Hasn't it been hard to come to Mass, having doors locked 5 minutes before, having to always be on time, having to always follow these protocols? But this is also an opportunity, and this is what I've been discovering in my life. I hate COVID. I don't like being a pastor during COVID. I don't like what it does to the church in so many ways. But what I'm discovering more and more through this last 14 months is God is changing my heart. I am not in control. There's so many ways in which I don't think I know how to pastor very well, because there's so much beyond my control. But what Jesus is teaching me, and I hope he's teaching you, is how to grow in loving, how to grow in forgiving, how to grow in truly being patient. Because in the end, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter if we have 700 people at Mass. It doesn't matter what programs we have. None of it matters unless we're growing in love. Nothing matters in your marriage unless you're growing in love to your spouse, to your children. Nothing matters to St. Peter's unless we're growing in the commandments and loving God and learning to love one another more and more. All I'm saying now is not in my text. I'm just speaking from the heart. But I want you to hear this. I want you to hear how much you are loved. I want you to hear that Jesus wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to bear fruit that will last. And he wants St. Peter's to become more and more a community where people experience here the nurturing love of God. He wants St. Peter's to be more and more a place that is filled with Barnabases, men and women who are sons and daughters of encouragement, because we don't need anything more than to be encouraged. Let me conclude by quoting St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei. Listen to what he wrote. Do everything for love. Thus there will be no little things. Everything will be big. Now think about that in relation to Our Lady. She did everything for love. And the things of her life were little things through most of her life. But she did them all for love. And as Jose Maria says, when we do and live this way, there are no little things, but everything is big. Because he goes on to say, perseverance in little things for love is heroism. Perseverance in little things for love is heroism. So you're choosing to get up this morning and come to Mass in a way is a little thing. But to do it for love is heroic. You are heroes for being here today. And every time we choose little things for love, we are acting heroically. And that's what Jesus means in today's gospel. If you live this way, you will bear much fruit. And it will be fruit that will last. Why will it last? Because as St. John says, God is love. And in the end, the only thing that matters is love. Because in heaven, we will be in love. May invites us into a way of being where, as we see renewal in the world around us, we are invited to spiritual renewal in our souls. I want to read the last stanza of Hopkins' poem. This ecstasy all through mothering earth tells Mary her mirth till Christ's birth, to remember and exaltation in God who was her salvation. That's it. Mary knew that in God was her salvation. She abided in the vine. Mary, pray for us. Pray for our hearts. And Jesus, please help to cut off those branches that are the condemnatory heart, so that more and more we may discover what it is to have fruitful hearts and love your commandments and love one another. Amen.